Good morning. Good to see you back here in this room again. We're glad that the Lord has graciously provided heat, and we thank you for your generosity in helping provide that. The Lord works through His people. I also want to take just a moment to thank you for the love gift that was shared with Kim and me and our family at the Watch Night service, and we appreciate that very much, and all the love that we not only feel but see and experience from the saints here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We thank you very much for that. So we begin this new year, possibly you have made some resolutions or set some goals for yourself, desiring to see some type of change possibly in some area of your life. Maybe just something that you want to focus on for the next year as particularly important. Well, since the year 2000, the elders here in this local assembly, we have sought to do that corporately. As a local church, every year we have sought to select one thing prayerfully that we believe that God would have us as a local assembly emphasize and focus on. It's definitely not the only thing we're going to encourage. No, we're going to encourage everything that's in the Word of God, but we like to focus in on something that we can do together as a local church. And we'd really like to, here we are. I don't know if you can see that well or not, but if you were on Facebook last night late, you might have seen this post from my daughter. She is a little bit crafty in a good way, you know, working with crafts. So last night as she got ready to go back to college, back to her dorm room, she put this together, and I appreciated that. How beautiful are the feet. This comes from the book of Isaiah, and Paul quotes it in his letter to the Romans. And he says there, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Taking the good news to the world in which we live. God has called us to do that, and we want to think this year on sowing the gospel seed during this year. And so as we think about that, I want us to just briefly this morning ask and answer three questions about sowing the gospel seed in 2014. Here's the first question. Well, I tell you what, before we do that, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I read from Romans 10, but we want to really look at Luke chapter 8 and draw a few thoughts from that as we begin with this first question. Why is the word illustrated as seed? We're going to be sowing the gospel seed as a local assembly. We hope we've been doing that every year since this local church was established over 70 years ago, but we want to really focus on it this year in a particular way. And in Luke chapter 8, if you've been with us, you know, on Sunday mornings when I've spoken, we've been going through the book of Luke, and we have already looked at Luke 8, but I just want to go back and make a little application. If we could begin down in verse 4 with our reading. Luke 8 and verse 4. "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." I want to stop there. Again, we've already covered this parable. We looked at it particularly under the thought in the surrounding verses of being careful how we hear the Word of God. But I'd like to make another application this morning, and particularly as we look at verse 11, where the Lord Jesus begins to explain this earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He says very clearly concerning the seed that was sown by the sower, the seed is the Word of God. So I want us to ask, first of all, why is the Word of God illustrated as seed? I want to just mention three things. You may think of others, but think of three things. First of all, the Word of God is illustrated by the Lord Jesus as seed because the Word of God is living. It's alive, just like a seed is alive. There's life in that seed that you may sow in your garden this spring. So there is life in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living. It's living. It's also powerful. It's also sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why? Because it's living. And so when we sow the gospel seed, when we sow the Word of God, we are sowing something. We are spreading something that is alive. It's living. Secondly, the Word of God can be illustrated as seed and is illustrated as seed by the Lord Jesus because it produces fruit. It produces fruit. You plant your seed in the ground. Maybe you plant an individual seed, or maybe you scatter your seed as we have here in the illustration that the Lord Jesus used. But either way, when you plant that seed, your heart's desire, your mind's plan is for one day there to be fruit from that seed. That something will grow, a plant will grow, and on that plant there will be fruit. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Colossian church back in the first century. Very relevant today in the 21st century. He said, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Paul said, you heard the word of the truth of the gospel. And the word of the truth of the gospel as a seed was sown in your heart, and now it is bringing forth fruit, spiritual fruit. You see, when a seed is placed in the soil under the right conditions, and the Lord Jesus addressed that in his parable, the condition of the soil. And when the seed is placed in the soil under the right conditions, there will be fruit. There will be spiritual fruit when the seed of the gospel is sown and it comes in the right conditions. And there will be a spiritual fruit that is life, because the Word of God is living. It produces living fruit, and it's going to produce life that is new, different life than the person who receives it and responds positively to the word of the gospel. It's going to be a different life than they had before. It's going to be new. It's going to be a spiritual life. People today that don't know the Lord sometimes talk about things that are spiritual, but the Bible tells us the only way we really know the things of God, which are spiritual, is by the Spirit of God, who lives in the life of every believer, bringing new life, bringing fruit, bringing a life that is eternal, a life that never ends, bringing a life that is abundant, that overflows with the blessings of God, overflows with purpose, overflows with the reality of what it is to live as God created us and intended for us. A new creation. If you look at our sign on your way out, or you did on your way in, you'll see part of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are new. And that's what God's desire is. And that's why the word is illustrated as seed, because it brings forth the fruit of salvation. And thirdly, the word of God is illustrated as fruit because it is designed to be sown. It is designed to be scattered over the soil. And just as a seed will not germinate until it's in the soil, neither will the word of God germinate as God intends it to until it is sown into the heart and mind and soul of an individual. So the word of God is illustrated as seed. The Lord Jesus says the seed is the word of God. Well, as we think about sowing the seeds of the gospel, sowing the seed of the gospel, you know, it makes me think maybe some are sowing the seed right now, but maybe the gospel seed that is being sown is not the true gospel, not accurate according to the word of God. What is the gospel? What is it that we are to be sowing this year and every year as believers? Well, the word gospel literally means good news. If you go back into the Greek, it means good news, glad tidings. And that's what we're bringing. That's what we're seeking to spread to the world. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I would suggest that here in this passage, the first 8 verses, we have the most straightforward and succinct definition of the gospel that is found in the Bible. Here we have it declared as the gospel, and Paul makes it very clear what the gospel is that he had been preaching. If you're familiar with the book of Galatians, you know that in the first chapter of that letter, he said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than I've preached to you, then he should be accursed. That's how serious it is to spread the wrong gospel message. And so we want to make sure that we're spreading the truth of the gospel as Paul wrote to the Colossians. Notice here what as we read together in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. In other words, he had presented good news to them. And here's the gospel which he preached, which also you received. Notice that word received. And in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. He makes it very clear before he states the gospel, he says that the gospel is the message that brings us the way of salvation. And we see it's through true faith. Not an empty faith in something that is imaginary. No, but in something that is true and sure. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we, with a sincere heart, believe this gospel message and commit ourselves to God who presented the message, then we find that we are saved. Because you see, this message is true and substantial. Oh, what is the message? Verse 3 makes it very clear, the starting point of this message. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. You see, the gospel message includes, first of all, the reality of sin. Christ died. And a lot of people will agree with that. But you know what? We read here and throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New, that Christ died for our sins. We were born into this world as sinners, and sin separates us from God. Sin is anything that displeases God. Anything that God says to do and we don't do it, that's a sin. Anything that God says don't do and we do it, that's a sin. The Bible teaches us that we can sin even in our minds, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4. It comes down even to the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Our motives can be sinful. And sin separates us from God, who created us to have a relationship with Him. Sin had to be dealt with. The only way for that sin to be dealt with properly was for the punishment that we read is death. Eternal spiritual death. The second death is spoken of and described in the book of Revelation. That had to be dealt with. And the only one who could deal with that besides the offender, the offending parties, was someone who had never sinned. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came from heaven as God and became a man while continuing to be God and went to the cross of Calvary. And there we read that He died as a substitute. He died for our sins. That is essential in the gospel. And then we read that He was buried in verse 4. And that He was buried, that proves that He died. And that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If He stayed in the grave, like the leaders of every other religion, every other philosophy, they've all died and stayed in the grave. Or if they're still alive, they're going to die and stay in the grave. He rose again on the third day. 3 days and three nights. Plenty of time to evidence the reality of His death. And then as we continue our reading, we see that He was seen. And we won't read verses 5 through 8 for sake of time, but we see that over 500 people saw Him. Many of those were willing to die themselves because they knew that He had risen from the dead. And they would not back down from that. So He rose again the third day, the one who died for us. And this message is received, as Paul said. You receive this. And it's received by grace. It's not of our works. It's nothing that we can ever do to deserve God's favor, to deserve forgiveness, to deserve a relationship with God, a home in heaven, an escape from hell. Nothing we could ever do. All we could do is by faith receive the free gift of salvation by receiving the Lord Jesus. John 1:12 says, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name." You see, it's by grace that we or anyone else is saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. That's the gospel message. Oh, well, let's continue on and ask a very practical question. Since we've seen why the Word of God is illustrated as a seed, and we made sure we know what the gospel seed is based on the Word of God, well, then how do we go about sowing the gospel seed? Well, I had a picture back there. I'm going to go to it, and I don't know if I'll be able to find my next one or not. Here we go. We're going to focus on something this year that is one method of sowing the seed. It's not the only method. And it's not necessarily the best method, particularly for every situation. But we want to, as the guy in this picture is doing, we want to take out the seed of the Word of God in the form of gospel tracts. You know, a tract, if you look up the definition in the dictionary, you'll see that it's a piece of writing expressing a strong belief. And as we share gospel tracts all throughout this year, and hopefully on into the future in the will of the Lord, we trust that we will be taking the good seed of the Word of truth and we'll be spreading that out as a part of our witness. You know, evangelism is not just a resolution. Evangelism is a responsibility of every believer. You know, we looked recently in Luke 9 and we saw there that the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is abundant, and there's much fruit to be gleaned, but the workers in that harvest are few. Charles Spurgeon, often described as the prince of preachers, he said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." The evidence, one of the evidences of true new life is the desire for others to experience that same new life. Again, there are a great variety of ways to sow the gospel, personally and corporately. But we want to focus this year on tracts. Okay? So how do we sow the gospel seed? Let me just mention several things here. First of all, the benefit of gospel tracts. We might have to hurry through these, but you're sharp, I can tell, so we won't have any problem. First of all, tracts are portable. They're very convenient. You can have it with you all the time. It's easy to stick it in your pocket, in your pants pocket, in your bag, in your car, no matter where you are, who you are. You know, even if you're at the beach, you probably still got a little pocket in your swimsuit or something, or you can carry them around. They're very portable. All right, another benefit of tracts, they're very affordable. They're reasonably priced. Now, they're particularly reasonably priced for you if you're a part of this local assembly or if you visit with us, because we, for years, have had tract racks with tracts stocked, and they're freshly stocked. Right outside this room, you take a right, and you'll see a number of excellent titles, tracts that you can trust, that they are the good seed of the Word of God. Another benefit of tracts is that they are appealing. You'll see that many of the tracts today, and particularly the ones we have, they have attractive covers. Many of them have a catchy opening, something that would make somebody want to know, what's inside there? I'm interested in that. Most tracts are readable. They're shorter in length, and the shortness of length encourages people to read that. They're also more appealing if you consider the person that you're trying to reach. I put up just several different ones here just to look. You see one there, you're special. A lot of folks like to give that to women. The one on the right there, are you a good person? That can go for adults, but also younger people, obviously, in the cartoon form. On the left, an IQ test. That'll get somebody's attention. Do good people go to heaven? Again, that gets people's attention. Steps to peace with God. He did that just for you. The $1 million bill in the bottom right-hand corner, that'll get their attention too. So these are just some examples of different tracts, many that we have here. They're beneficial because they're appealing. Fourthly, a benefit of tracts is that they're versatile. They can be left where people are likely to pick them up and read them, maybe in a waiting room, for instance. They can also be put easily in an envelope in the mail, mailed with bill payments or other correspondence. And of course, they can be handed out. You can take it and you can hand it from one person to another. They're very versatile. They're a good way to start a conversation. If you're talking with somebody and you want to bring up spiritual things and you have a gospel tract, you can present that to them, and a great way to get a conversation started. They're also good for situations in which you don't have time to build a relationship. Unless it breaks down, you're probably not going to have a whole lot of time to build a relationship with someone in an elevator. You hope it doesn't break down. If it doesn't, you're not going to be on there long, but you could still share a gospel tract with the person who is on there. And then also, they're good for leaving with people with whom you've had an opportunity to talk about spiritual things, but you want to leave something with them that they can hold on to. And then, of course, maybe you're the kind of person that's not comfortable in conversations in general. Here's a great way to get the gospel, to scatter the seed. Fifthly, tracts are beneficial because they're powerful. And they're powerful because they contain the Word of God. You know, my dad used to tell me, because most Shelleys are short, we're changing that a little bit, but most Shelleys are short, and he said, you know, dynamite comes in small packages. You know, he gave us a few of those kind of things there to help us, encourage us as young fellas coming along. The Word of God in a gospel tract, a little gospel tract, is powerful. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And then tracts are beneficial because they're durable. They can stay with that person. They can be looked at later. They might be left in a drawer and pulled out at a time of real need, or even left somewhere and picked up by another individual. I read about somebody who's on the mission field now who was saved by walking along the road, finding a gospel tract wet, took it home, dried it out, and trusted Christ as Savior. That's not going to happen every time, but it can happen. Well, you know, some people have objections to using gospel tracts. They say, you know, in 2014, that doesn't work. Here are some of the objections. One is that they're irrelevant. Tracts are old-fashioned. People don't respond to that. Well, I would answer that with that's a minority opinion. I've seen in my experience in giving out tracts that people in general, at least in this part of the country, are very receptive and they're open to that. Now, what God does with it and what they do with it, I can't control that. But I think they are relevant. I think that that objection is not accurate. Another objection is that they're wasteful. People are just going to throw them away. Well, that's true. But you know, I go back to how we read this morning in Luke chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God and it's scattered on a lot of different kinds of soil. And 3 out of 4 of those soils, 75% of the soils, were not soils that produced fruit. But the Lord Jesus didn't say, only cast on the good soil. Because we can't tell. He can, but we can't tell what the good soil is. So, there are different soils. A third objection is that they are ineffective. People are reached by relationships, and I agree with that. And I would definitely say that talking with someone is much more effective. But it's not always possible. And as we said, the person in the elevator, you may not be able to build a relationship. It provides other opportunities. And then some say, well, it's just a cop-out, a cop-put. A cop-put is a misspelling of cop-out, in case you were wondering. And you'll never forget a cop-put. So don't let it be a cop-put for you, okay? I guess spell check wouldn't have caught that, so okay. But it can be a cop-out, an excuse for silence. I agree with that. But my response to that is that it's better than not sharing the gospel at all. Okay? It's better than not sharing the gospel at all. All right, we got to really close up. And they are effective, too, because there are some great gospel stories, gospel tract stories. We won't have time to look at them today. All right, we have 2 minutes. All right, 2 minutes to get through how we sow the gospel seed. Okay, how do we sow the gospel seed? Here's some practical suggestions. First of all, be selective. Be selective, okay? When you choose which tracts to distribute, even though they're out here and you can trust them, I still encourage you to read them first. Look at the content. Make sure that the gospel is included and is accurate and is clear. Or maybe you have a purpose to just sow a seed and it may not give somebody the whole plan of salvation, but it may prompt them to think about the things of God. That's good. You want to make sure it's attractive, at least attractive enough that someone would want to read it. And again, you want to see, hopefully, that it's relevant for the age group, for the language group, for the gender with which you are sowing. All right, be prayerful. Pray for a humble spirit of true caring. This is something very important. As we make a commitment to give out gospel tracts and sow the seed, we need to pray for ourselves. Lord, I want to do this with a spirit that is humble and that really cares. And is not just trying to check something off my to-do list. Lord, I want a heart of caring. Lord, help me to see opportunities. Help me to be aware. And Lord, help those who receive the gospel tracts that I share, help them to be open. Help them to be reached. Father, convict their hearts. Be prepared. Invest time in brainstorming ideas for sowing. How can I do it? What are some real ways that I can do it? What are some relevant ways, some effective ways, some creative ways? We want to encourage all of us to be sowing as part of our lifestyle. And then there are also events where we can come together to do that, and we want to provide that. Be prepared. Part of that be prepared, too, is to, I don't know about you, but I've got a 3-pat method when I leave home. I pat to make sure I have my keys, I pat to make sure I have my wallet, and I pat to make sure I have my phone. The 3 things, all right? Can I add a 4th to that? Pat to make sure you have your tracks, all right? Be prepared. Be proactive. I just covered that under the be prepared. Be engaging. A smile. A smile does so much to disarm a person that you're giving something to. They might be suspicious already. But if you smile and you're friendly and you speak kindly with a sincere comment, it's going to, if nothing else, leave a good taste in their mouths. We read in Colossians 4 that our speech should always be with grace, particularly toward those who don't know the Lord. And what do I say? How can I be engaging? You might say something like, here's something for you about the Lord. It was shared with me just the other day. Someone that says, I want you to be blessed the way I've been blessed. And give them that. You might want to say, I want to share this with you because it's really meant a lot to me. That's a good one. Or here is something for you to read when you get a moment or when you get a chance. I think it'll really impact your life. Think about what you want to say and use that. And be expectant. Expect God to work in hearts. Expect people to have questions. Expect people to want more information. In doing that, you might want to take the track and on the back, write the website of the chapel. Excellent resources there, and they can contact us through the website or put your phone number if you feel comfortable doing that. But expect people to want more information. Also, we've had a stamp in the past, and maybe we can get another one of those where we can actually stamp the tracts. Now, if you're going to go stick them in the pants pocket of pants on sale at Kohl's, don't put ones with the chapel's name on the back of it, all right? We don't want to do that, all right? Or if you're going to go throw them out the window somewhere, don't do that, all right? Okay, so now we're going to close with the challenge. And I think, pull out your bulletin. Pull out your bulletin, and you'll see an insert in that bulletin. And at the top of that insert, it says, Sowing the Gospel Seed in 2014. Now, what we want to do as an assembly, as we emphasize tract distribution, we want each person that fellowships here, that attends here, to prayerfully consider how many tracts that you would like to set as a goal to distribute each week of this year. It's going to be between you and the Lord, okay? But what I'd like for you to do is, that's got a little dotted line there. I'd love for you to fold it and tear this off. Tear that off, and you can put your name on there if you want to. Some people say, well, it helps me be accountable if I've committed. But you don't have to put your name. Just put how many tracts. Maybe you think, hey, I'll give out one track a week. Or maybe you think you could do one a day and do seven in a week. Or maybe you could do 20 or 25 or 50. Some of you might think, I can give out 200 a week. And if you can do that, praise God. We want to sow the seed. We want to give God the glory for what He does with it. But we want to commit to that. If you write it down, I think it'll go a little further for you too. So if you have something to write with, tear that off. We're going to close this part of the meeting in prayer. You can tear that off. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you need to share pencils or pens, do that. Just write down the number. Hey, if you don't reach your number, we're not going to come looking for you. Hey, have you given out this many tracts? No, that's not the point. The point is, how many can we commit to as an assembly to get out every week? And then every week, you see there under that, there's some other papers, and there are going to be plenty of these out laying on the table every Sunday when you come in, or Wednesday, whatever. You can just write how many you gave out, stick it in the little box back there. You don't have to put your name on it. You can if you want to, okay? So we're going to close in prayer. Then I want to ask you to do that. And then if you want to fold it and pass it to the center aisle, I know some of these fine folks on the inside will come up here, pick those up, and they'll put them in the box back there, okay? All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll move ahead with the rest of our morning. Father, we want to thank you for our time and your word, and we look forward now for this time of baptism. Pray that you'll work in our hearts, Father, through your word. Thank you that your word is the seed. We pray that we would be active in scattering it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Okay, if you could do that and pass it over, we'll have a song being played, and Dave will come up, maybe lead us in a song as well. If you're going to be participating in the baptism, we ask you that you come on down, the ladies on this side, the guys on this side, and I think we probably will, Jonathan, we're going to take this down as well? Yes, okay, we got some folks to come up and move this, and be really careful with his laptop. In fact, I think I'll take it.
Okay, and while we are waiting for those who are going to be baptized to prepare, I ask you to turn in your hymn books to 532. Number 532. And I'm going to keep my eye on Jack Proctor and ask you when those screens are pulled, the screens are pulled apart, to raise your hand. Let me know. See through my front eyes, but not the rear eyes. Okay. Number 532. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. And if the curtains haven't opened by that time, we'll have another hymn. 532, verses 1, 2, and 4. Verse 1. Oh,
happy day, rejoice, only my Savior and my God. The rain is flowing, heart rejoice, and tell his pastures all abroad.
Thank you. We do appreciate each one of you being here this morning. There are six individuals who have expressed a desire to be baptized that were able to be here this particular Sunday, and so we're very thankful for this. Thankful for you being here to witness this. We see in the Scripture that baptism was always a public display. It declares a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who are going to be baptized, you're going to hear their testimonies this morning. They're not getting saved this morning. Going down into this water does not save them. It does not make them more saved. It does not complete their salvation. It does not make them spiritual or more spiritual. This is a symbol. And they're going to be acting out a drama, in essence, this morning. They're going to be demonstrating what has already happened to them. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, roughly 2,000 years ago, and was buried and rose again. So they are going to declare that they're identifying themselves with Him publicly, as they've already done in trusting Christ as Savior. And when He died for them, and so they died with Him. And when He was buried for them, and so they were buried with Him. So they're going to go down into the water of baptism in the symbol of the grave, being buried with Him. And then as the Lord Jesus rose again, then so they are going to symbolically rise from the grave to walk in a new life. Again, they're already walking the new life. They're just declaring that to you today. So we trust that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, maybe one of these testimonies or even what you see, these people declaring all out in front of whoever's here and anybody that comes in, that they want to follow the Lord Jesus and be identified with Him. We hope that'll speak to your heart and will challenge us as believers as well. Grace DeLoy, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
The reason I'm getting baptized today is I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I asked Jesus in my heart at Mountaintop Youth Camp. It was my first time there, and Miss Tammy, our speaker, taught me that Jesus died on the cross. I'm ready to see Him in heaven.
Okay, Grace, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and the authority of the Word of God, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Marley Jones, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes. I got saved a couple years ago after I came home from church Sunday night, and I was afraid I was going to go to hell. So I talked to my parents, and I asked them about getting saved. And then I went up to my room and prayed that God would forgive my sins and He would come live with me.
On behalf of Lisa and I, I'd just like to say about Marley, you know, the scripture says we have no greater joy than that our children walk in truth. It's been neat watching Marley grow in her faith, her concern for the things of the Lord, and just her interest in serving Christ. Amen. We're thankful.
That's great. Okay, Marley, on the basis of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and the authority of the Word of God, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Kimberly Aguilar Halsey, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I have. Okay, my testimony. We all went to the Pittsburgh Christian Village, and we spent time with the elderly people, and it was September 14, 2013. And we were in groups, and Mr. Mark Armfield sent us to the last house with Miss Eleanor Sim, and she went around the room asking how long we have trusted the Lord as our Savior. And I said, I believed in the Lord all my life, but I have not yet been saved. And she said, what's stopping you? And then I said, I guess nothing. She said, do you want to? And then I said, yes. And then she said, well, go ahead. And I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, come into my heart and help me trust the Lord as my Savior. And I was so happy, and I was crying, and then we left. Well, I was crying of happiness. Mm-hmm. And then we left, and as we were walking, the people in my group, Maddie, Eric, Claire, Daniel, and Caitlin, sung happy birthday to me.
All right, Kimberly, on the basis of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and on the authority of the Word of God, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Angelica Gonzalez, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Angelica's written her testimony. Good morning to all, and God bless you for being here today. My name is Angelica Gonzalez, and I am 16 years old. When I was around 12 years old, I heard the testimony of a man in church. He was so thankful to God for saving him from hell. He was also very joyous and confident in his salvation. I wanted to feel how that man felt. I'd always heard the gospel when I was younger, and I knew I was on my way to hell because I had never asked God to be my Savior. That night after church, I trusted God with my life. I knew that I did deserve to go to hell, but that God sent His Son Jesus to die for me on the cross and pay for my sins and give me eternal life. I want to obey God and get baptized. I want to show everyone that I am walking in a new path, the right path. I believe and am so grateful to God for saving me, and now I want to please Him and serve Him. I want God to do great things with my life for His glory. And like Mr. Shelley explained to me, you were already on God's team, but on the bench. Now you will be wearing the team uniform and on the field. Angelica, based on your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and on the authority of the Word of God, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amanda Westcott, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Amanda's written her testimony. I got saved after I graduated high school. I walked through life until then with no real direction for life, nothing foundational and concrete to live for. I grew up knowing about Jesus, and I did believe that He lived and died. However, I never had a relationship with Him and never gave my life to Him. Honestly, I didn't know you had to be saved in order to get to heaven. After attending church three times with a friend, I grasped what it meant to be saved. And right after that third service, I knew I was ready. I gave my life to Jesus. Amanda, on the basis of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and on the authority of the Word of God, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thomas Hansen, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, and I was saved 7 years ago at Mountaintop, and the only reason of that is because Rob White brought me to church.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. Thomas, on the basis of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and on the authority of the Word of God, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for celebrating with these folks today as they have made this declaration of faith in the Lord Jesus publicly. They want to walk with the Lord Jesus. If you're walking with the Lord Jesus, you know that's not an easy thing. And the more public you are with your faith, the more Satan will attack. And we know that Satan is going to be attacking these folks. But they have the armor of God. They have the power of the Holy Spirit. But they need your encouragement. They're getting dried off and changed, and they'll begin after we pray to start coming out. And I would encourage if you can stay around for a few minutes and give them a word of encouragement. I know that would be a blessing. Maybe something that's been shared in one of these testimonies, or again, maybe in seeing visually presented God's choice of how we show that we're identified with the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've been spoken to. Maybe you've never received the Lord Jesus. And as you've heard these testimonies, you may see yourself reflected in some of them before they came to trust Christ as Savior. We'd love to talk with you about that. There are others who would. There's no more important decision you could make today than to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And maybe you want to talk to one of them about it or talk to some of us. Maybe you're a believer, but you've not been walking closely with the Lord. This is the first Sunday of a new year. Any time is a good time to start being more serious about the things of God. But this is a great time to do that. And we'd love for you to just, before the Lord, commit yourself more fully to Him in walking with Him. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of our works, so that no one can boast. But the next verse says that we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so if you know the Lord is your Savior, His desire is that we follow Him, not only in baptism, but in obedience to His Word. A heart that's full of His love for us, overflowing in our love back to Him, which spreads out from that to love others. Love other believers and love those who don't know the Lord Jesus, that we might reach out with them and hope that we'll be sowing the gospel seed together this year. Let's close in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Were it not for Him, Lord, we would have no hope. We would have no peace. There would be no chance for forgiveness. We could never be declared right in Your sight. Holiness would be the furthest thing from reality for us. We would be far, far from You, with no hope of ever being reconciled. Father, we would be slaves to sin, and we would have no way to escape that power. Father, we thank You that through the Lord Jesus and His death on our behalf, the shedding of His blood, Father, we thank You through His resurrection that we can be declared right in Your sight. Thank You for these six. Father, we thank You for Grace and Marley, for Kimberly and Angelica and Amanda and Thomas. And we pray for Your mighty working in their lives, Father, that they, as they seek to follow You, that, Father, they would sense Your nearness and You would use them truly, as was expressed today, to do great things in and through their lives. And we commend them and their families, their friends, their spheres of influence into Your hand. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. May the Lord bless you. Happy New Year.